Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you. For our show and tell this morning, I want to introduce you to one of the saints in the church where I grew up. This is Jean. You know Jean's type, even if you didn't know her. She was one of the quilters and in the choir and in Presbyterian women and the deacons and just everything. Jean did everything in my church growing up. And today what I want to tell you about Jean is the way that she was the first one to call me into ministry. This was a few years before I actually heard my own call into ministry myself. Our congregation was observing Boy Scout Sunday, and when Boy Scout Sunday came along, the Boy Scouts did everything from ushering to sometimes the sermon. One year I can't remember if it was the children's sermon or the prayers of the people, but I did one of those pieces of worship and surely didn't do any particularly noteworthy kind of job of it. But after worship that day, I stopped into the church kitchen, and of course Jean was there, where else would she be? And she turned and looked at me and said, "So when are you going to seminary?" Now, maybe that was just a compliment, but it sounded honest and it certainly stuck with me. And I had never heard that idea before. I knew what seminary was, of course, but my first response was, "No, of course not. My dad is a pastor, not me." It would be a few years before I'd be able to actually hear God's call to me personally. Well, Jean passed away several months after my ordination service. I'm not sure if she was able to attend that service or not, but I know that she was there in spirit. And I know that she was the first one to name out loud, at least as I recall it, my call into ministry. There's something really special about faithful women like Jean. There's something really special about those of you who are with us on this Sunday morning after Christmas. This is always a faithful few who are with us today. And I'm very grateful that you are. And I'm grateful for your faithfulness. I'm grateful for the way that you, like Jean, are some of the ones who keep churches running, usually with the pastor's gratitude. Every congregation owes a whole lot to a very small number of dedicated servants. That's just how it goes in community. These faithful women also have a tendency to pay attention to the young people among the congregation, those who are just coming up in faith. Jean was my grandmother's age, and she had been around long enough to see not only me, but others grow up and find their way into whatever it was God was calling them to. In my case, it did, after all, turn out to be seminary. In our scripture reading today, we're going to meet a couple of more faithful elders who know something about the infant Jesus. So as we read, you might picture Jean's face or some of those other faithful women that you have known, and listen for a faithful woman named Anna. Now, we've been reading the first couple chapters of the Gospel of Luke since the beginning of Advent. And the Gospel of Luke uses these narratives of before and after Jesus' birth to kind of lay out the themes of the whole Gospel. This is kind of like the overture to Luke's Gospel. And we notice especially in these chapters the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of some human prophets who are the ones who are able to identify what God is up to in this pivotal time and this pivotal life of Jesus. And we hear in these same stories the way that the good news heals not just one people. It heals the entire world. So we just recently read that famous story of the angels and the shepherds. Covenant's kids read that to us on Thursday evening. And now our story is set 8 days and then 30 or 40 days after that. See, the Old Testament prescribes certain rituals to seal God's covenant with each generation of God's people, and to dedicate the firstborn son to God. Now, these rituals didn't necessarily have to happen at the temple, but we are going to find ourselves at the temple here, which is appropriate in Jesus' case. We'll actually be back at the temple next week, so if you aren't here today, you'll catch us next week back at the temple. But here we go, off to the temple. Please join me in a prayer for illumination. O Holy One, earthly angels spoke to earthly shepherds, and eternity entered time in the child of Bethlehem. Through the telling of the Christmas story, let our temporal lives be caught up in the eternal, in that same child, that we might join shepherds and all the heavenly host in praising the coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The scripture reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 38. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I mean no discredit to Jean, but Anna's old age was much more difficult, surely, than Jean's. Anna, this prophet that we met this morning, she had been widowed long ago. She had been alone most of her life. Luke gives us this careful timeline of Anna's life. She was married for 7 years, and then her husband died, and now she's 84 years old. She's been all alone for over 6 decades. And Luke, who is very careful about details, gives no mention of any sons that Anna had had who grew up to be able to provide for her. And so Anna, this widow, is in a desperate position and has been in a desperate position for decades. I imagine she had moved in at the temple long ago, because the temple was not only a place for the devout to pray, it was also a place for the destitute to beg. Those were almost the same thing, really. Anna had nowhere better to be. Without a husband or sons to provide for her, she depended on the mercy of worshipers who came to worship God and to honor God by giving to the poor. Anna had nowhere better to be, but she made use of her time there. She became sort of the prophetess in residence of the temple, it sounds like. And if you don't think that people without homes can be prophets, then you haven't spent much time with people who don't have homes. And that, I think, is how Anna turned out to be at the temple when these two parents came in with this tiny baby. Because Anna had nowhere better to be by night and by day. She had nowhere better to be when the Savior of the world came in a human life. There was Anna, in a position to proclaim the good news of the redemption of Jerusalem and all the world before that redemption could even say a word. If you're looking for the redemption of the world, there is no one better positioned to look for the redemption of the world than an elderly widow with nowhere better to be. No one looks forward to the transformation of the world more than those who are left out or left behind by the world as it is. And certainly no one looks forward to next Christmas more than those who are most lonely this year. No one looks forward to next Christmas more than those who are most lonely this year. There's someone else in the temple, of course, with Anna. There was Simeon, who apparently had nowhere better to be either. The Holy Spirit led him to the temple that day at least. Long ago, the Holy Spirit had come to Simeon and never left. Came to Simeon with this promise that he would see the consolation of Israel in this life. Luke doesn't tell us exactly how long ago that had been, but it sounds like it's been a while. I suspect Simeon has been waiting for the consolation of Israel for longer than he could have expected to wait. We know the feeling of a promise that takes a long time coming. Simeon may have been even older than Anna, at a time when people didn't typically live exceptionally long times. Simeon may have had nowhere better to be than the temple either. And certainly he expected the Savior to come from a holy place. Maybe the Holy Spirit had even revealed long ago that this is where he would eventually find the Savior. And so he waited. I wonder if Simeon got impatient after a while of waiting. I wonder if he started just taking any baby that came in for a dedication just in case that was the one. And Jesus, of course, would later say that that's not far from the truth. If you have welcomed this child, you welcome me. And then this one infant and his parents come in. And Simeon goes over and lifts the baby Jesus out of Mary's arm. And I wonder if the Holy Spirit connected like static electricity on a cold day. At long last, this is what I have been waiting for. And the Holy Spirit filled Simeon with this song of praise, praise to God for salvation for all people in this tiny person's life. A song of God's grace for every nation revealed in this tiny face. The world's hope and Simeon's hope came together that day in that moment. There's something profound in that moment that we only have access to because of Simeon's hope through those years that he would see the consolation of Israel. There's something that happens on this day that only the dedication of a Simeon or an Anna can really live into. There is truly nowhere better to be than in worship, right here in all the places we are today. Here in worship, we look for the hope of all the world. Here in this congregation, you, my faithful people, practice how elders and young people can care for each other. Just a few days ago on Christmas Eve, Covenant's kids shared the gift of the Christmas story with us, and Covenant members of all ages shared rejoicing in song as we celebrated that great story. Today, we care for each other by continuing to err on the side of caution, that we might protect especially those who are at the highest risk by staying in and staying apart from each other as much as we would love to be together today. Maybe this week we care for each other by calling each other, by sending cards and calls especially to those who might feel the most left out, either because they've been faithful for so long or because they haven't yet felt themselves fully welcomed in to the life of the congregation. Maybe that's a way we care for each other this week. Here in worship, we care for each other and we care for this world by continuing to wait for the hope of every nation. We wait for the hope of every nation right here as best we know how by welcoming the good news as it reveals itself in each person's life. We listen for God's word of salvation and glory. And we sing together. We will sing next the song that Simeon sang when that baby arrived, the song that Simeon sang when he welcomed the salvation of the world in Jesus' life again this morning. We give thanks for Jesus' life. We give thanks for the faithfulness of God's people. We give thanks for the gift of good news this morning and always. Amen. Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.